Can you, I hit record. Can you give me a sound test, Joe, Neil?
Sure. You have been found guilty of second degree farting under the covers on your wife, 12 counts of eating the rest of the potato chips, and 24 counts of being a dick. You are hereby sentenced to death by musket shot to the gut, followed by the silent treatment.
I plead not guilty. Wait, you already sentenced me. Let's just start. Let's start at the beginning. There we go.
Beautiful.
Hey, everybody. I'd like to quote Fyodor Dostoevsky. Fyodor Dostoevsky, a Russian guy, who famously said in his book, Crime and Punishment, "Когда причина терпит, не лучше дьявол помогает." Now, I have no idea what that fucking means. And based on my accent, I'm guessing you don't either. But that's not really the point. The point is that we live in a crazy world with lots of rules. And sometimes, you know what? You just need to break some of those rules. Welcome to JBC. Yeah. Joe.
Hello.
How you doing, Joe? Mr. Joe.
I'm doing good, Mr. J.
Yeah?
How about yourself?
Doing all right. Are you picking him up, putting him down, leading that life of crime? Smooth criminal? You're kind of a smooth criminal, Joe. Kind of, aren't you?
Smooth criminal? I often wondered what that song means, by the way.
You want me to Google it?
I don't know. I have this theory that most Michael Jackson songs don't really mean much, except for, like, maybe Man in the Mirror.
What's that one mean?
Don't be a good person. Start with yourself. Don't be a criminal. And then, and yet he then writes the song Smooth Criminal, which seems to, I guess, glorify crime. Or, I don't think he knew what he was doing, lyrically. I think he knows what he's doing as a dancer. And, certainly as a melodist. That song doesn't mean shit. And most of his songs don't mean anything. I really believe that.
Well, I looked it up while you were talking. I was listening to you at the same time. My therapist. Did I tell you I'm seeing a therapist?
Jason, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Jason?
That very thing. Annie, are you okay? Apparently, this is a phrase used in cardiopulmonary resuscitation training courses, and Michael Jackson is known to have taken a CPR course, according to Wikipedia.
Wait, is that the meaning of the song?
It's CPR.
Therefore, he's a smooth criminal?
When you've been struck by a smooth criminal, that means you've been resuscitated by a paramedic. That's what it means.
All right. I think this conversation fits better in the last show, which was the nonsense episode.
Joe, every episode is a nonsense episode.
You're right. And every episode is a crime, too. So
it's true. We should just cancel this damn thing. But
every episode is horrifying. We had a horror podcast.
That's right.
Every episode is about the podcast. And it's meta, so it's all meta.
Yep.
Every theme is in every show.
That's right. We are holographic. We're, what's those things that when you get closer to the same? Or like one of them? One of those things that you get close.
Like a Sierpinski gasket?
Yeah, we're gaskets. I'm a gasket.
Right on.
I know we're waiting for the song to end, which is we're really not committing to any kind of real conversation. Unlike, you know, what we normally do. Word of warning, this is my first beer in a week. So, I can't really vouch for the safety of your ears, Joe.
All right. Well, you're in the safety of your own home, so yep. You're probably, after this beer, you're not going to lose control, go out in public, and get arrested. You're going to be safe at home.
I am.
Law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, you know, law-abiding. I don't know that I'm law-abiding. I think I'm just not unlawful. I don't get up in the morning and think, I wonder what laws I can abide by today. That's bullshit. I don't know. I don't want to get too serious on you, Joe, but I feel like if we're going to talk about crime. There's a potential for me to rant and rave about the ills of our social constructs.
Yeah, there's not necessarily a real strong connection necessarily between the law and morality. I can feel it. We're getting serious. I need to lighten things up here. We're not even going to talk about crime. Well, the only thing I have to talk about is crime shows. So this will be the TV episode.
Crime shows? Hey, now, hey, I like what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do. I know I really should download the Royksopp and the Surf Cafe guitar so we don't have to listen to these ads, but I'm just too lazy. I'll get to it eventually.
I did detect a little bit of laziness there because sometimes there's a hurriedness about you stopping the ad or maybe like apologizing for it. This time you just let it go and you're like, hear that? It's a fucking ad. Okay.
Well, I guess, you know, technically we are breaking the law by stealing the Royksopp from YouTube, stealing the Surf Cafe guitar from YouTube. Technically we are breaking the law. So maybe I'm like, play the ad. At least it sort of justifies like, hey, they're still making money, right? Our one listener. Here's
we steal so much content.
Oh yeah.
And there's going to be more this time. So like I said, every episode's a crime, mostly because we not only steal straight up copyrighted material, recorded copyrighted material, but also we steal other people's jokes. Like I'll run out of material and start doing some Adam Carolla shit. I try not to do that, but, you know, Adam Carolla's really funny. That was for you, Adam. I'll tell one of your jokes later, because I got fucking nothing this time.
That's cool. I was going to say something off-air. I said I was going to say something on-air, but I can't remember what it is. Another warning. So I checked out my internet bill, and it was double what it usually is. So I called up the internet people, and I said, hey, WTF. And they said, what's that mean? I said, really? You guys are internet people, and you don't know what WTF means? They said, no. And I said, it means, why is my bill double? They said, oh, you're at the end of your promotional period. I said, okay, cancel my service. They said, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. How about we just, you know, give you another promotion? I was like, hey, that sounds great. What you got? They said, if you want to switch from the kind of internet you got now to a faster internet for just a little tiny bit more, we can do that for you. And that's a short-term commitment. Or we can stick you with what you still got, and that's a long-term commitment. I said, give me the short-term commitment. And they said, okay. And they sent me a new modem, and I hooked it up, and now my internet's shitty. So I might drop this call, Joe, and if that happens, I apologize. I'll try to call you back as soon as possible. I don't know if I'll pause the recording or what have you, but fingers crossed that things go well.
Damn. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not scared. Everything will be fine.
Okay. Good. So we're at 8 minutes past or starting. In a tweet to me, or not tweet, a text message to me, Joe. Hey, I'm hitting my usual stroke moment early in the show. This is great. Text message to me, Joe, you said that we should have structure. Do you have that timing like laid out? Can you give me a reminder like when we should do things? Because I don't remember what you said.
Oh my god, it's structure. I don't know. I think I was thinking out loud through the text, and I think I had ideas to like switch up the format or something, and I don't know. Were you offended by that?
Not at all. No. Okay. No, you remind me of this guy that I sometimes work with at the car wash. He's one of my suppliers. He supplies me with this kind of soap. And, like, we'll get on these conference calls, and he's always like, hey, I'm really sorry for interrupting, but I'm like, dude, this is why you're on the call. Interrupt. That's why I like you, man. Right. You're humble. And you remind me of him because you're always like, did I offend you? It's like, fuck no, you didn't offend me.
So you have the text. What the hell did I say? I texted you a lot this week.
You did. It was fun. I enjoy the texts. I don't know if I still have it, though. Let's see. Scrolling. Let's see. At 11:41 a.m., yesterday you texted me the word fucking head. That was nice. Let's see.
That's true. I remember that. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned – should we mention the person that you mentioned that you said they mentioned us? Should we mention him?
No, we shouldn't.
No, okay. Well, that was close. Here's your thoughts about the New Year's episode. You texted me the phrase, you poop here. Oh, that's right, because I misspelled you.
Okay.
I'm scrolling back. Wow, there was a lot of texting here.
Text about the New Year's episode, I think, will be a lot of fun, because I think we should do tube. We should not do tube. We should do top fives or like top threes of all of our, kind of like best of type of shit.
We are so dedicated. Anyway. We planned the Halloween episode like 8 months before Halloween. We're planning the New Year's Eve episode. That's awesome. Nothing in my life except my marriage and my kid have lasted as long as this podcast. So why not? Let's keep it going.
Hey, you know what? This is our 20th episode. Pardon me. Losing my voice. This is the 20th episode. The crime episode, at least we'll give it a try. We're planning the New Year's episode, we're planning the Halloween episode, but I think our listener will find it shocking at how little we have planned for this particular episode.
It is a crime how little we're going to make that joke incessantly. This is the criminal episode because all we're going to do is say how much of a crime it is that we haven't done anything.
And we're not to arguments for cancellation yet, but we did the nonsense episode, which is easy for us, but I also just found myself responding to everything you said and everything that came out of my mouth with screaming nonsense afterward, which I guess that made me satisfied that we were sticking to the theme. And that's a crime.
That's a crime. I found your text. It says suggestion. I'm just going to read it. Suggestion. First ad at 20, second 35, and arguments at 50-ish. That way we don't load prep or comedy to the back of the show, nor any improv, serious or not, to the front of the show. Balance. And I said, okay. And you said, except for Bareback Mountain, all structure abandoned. And I said, okay. And you said, please push back if you feel I'm being silly with the structure. And I didn't say nothing. And then you said, I think montaging is driving bad. Yeah. I was probably like, I probably left the room to like take a crap or something. And,
came back to find that I had responded to myself anyway, which is expected.
And then you told me I'm your best friend, and you're my best friend too, Joe. So there you go. No crime committed there at all. I find you guilty, sir, of the crime of being an awesome dude. Sentence. Listening to me babble.
It occurred to me that you're my partner in crime. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Moving on.
I don't know what to talk about. Do you have a criminal thing you want to talk about? I can read to you anecdotes about stupid criminals.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I didn't have like a real anecdote. I realized I was like, well, let me think about my own criminal activity here. I could tell some stories about some criminal activity that I have perpetrated. I could tell some stories about criminal activity of which I have been a victim.
Okay.
Maybe some of those stories would be funny or a little bit, unsettling. I'm not sure. But I really just like crime shows. My wife and I will watch crime shows.
Yeah.
And that's and I think a lot of people talk about this because it's a big thing. And I'm kind of part of that. The fact that everybody watches crime shows. And apparently, it's especially couples like to watch crime shows.
Really? I did not know that.
That's weird. And we watch crime shows on this thing on the Amazon Fire Stick, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And we do it through this thing called Kodi, which is illegal, I believe.
Okay.
It steals things from the internet that I should be buying. I should be a patron of the arts, but I'm not. Straight stealing it through this apparatus. And then I am a criminal in that sense, and then I'm watching crime shows incessantly. Not just crime shows. It's murder. Like, my wife and I like to sit. I'm not even sure if we like to do it, but we keep doing it. We hit play. There's some 911 call that's just horrible. It makes us feel bad. The story is told then of somebody's murder, and, it's somebody's wife, somebody's child, it's terrible. And
sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, I don't know. Do you and your wife get into that too? It makes me a little concerned for my sanity and the sanity of my wife.
Well, let me ask you this question. Short answer is I don't think we do, but are you talking about like you guys watch true crime shows?
Yes, yes. It's, I didn't make that distinction, but yeah, what's called like murder porn, I think. Once again, I'm going to address something that South Park addressed a long time ago, but it's like murder porn, true crime shows. We'll watch like Forensic Files, The First 48 Hours. I think Dateline has a lot of murder on there.
Your job is to look at ground meat and questionable sauces all day long. Right? I mean, kind of. It's your job.
Yeah, you've got it.
Yeah. And what does your wife do? Or if you don't want to say, my question is this. Do you think that what you do for a living lends itself to why you want to watch this murder porn?
Well, my wife works at a slaughterhouse.
Okay, so I guess that's a yes.
We've never brought that up, but I guess I never made these connections before.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've got to stop.
I'm overseeing, the questionable meat at Taco Bell, which, I don't know what type of – I'm guessing it's a mammal. Maybe it is human meat. I'm not sure. I've never really questioned that. I am a Taco Bell manager, but I'm not high enough – I'm not upper management, and I think upper management knows what type of animals and or humans are being slaughtered. My wife is also kind of mid-management at the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And so – but she knows the meat that's being processed. So that's kind of different. But it's – in Taco Bell, you just kind of – you just –
go with
the I'm just teaching the kids how to make a good taco and how to work together. It occurs to me that maybe we're serving people human meat.
You're reminding me of, I'm sorry to interrupt, an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is quality television back in the day. There was an episode where some people kept going missing at one of the fast food places, and they became convinced that they were killing these people and putting them into the burgers, right? And so Buffy and team go and investigate. I think she had a job there or something. And it turns out that they weren't putting bodies into the burgers. What it was is that there was a demon who liked the taste of the people who worked there because they were always covered in grease, right? And then the ironic joke at the end was that it turns out that the way the people who owned the restaurant exonerated themselves was pointing out that we put no meat in our meat. It's all vegetable protein. That's how we stay cheap, and we're lying to everybody. So it was sort of a funny ha-ha there. Yeah.
But did you write that episode?
I did.
Did it ever air?
I didn't write it. That was really on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I want to say the later Buffy seasons. Yeah. Yeah. So I know my wife and I don't watch murder porn, and we don't watch too many cop shows. Not that I'm opposed to them. We've been watching Sherlock, but I don't think that really counts. I do watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but again, I don't know if that counts as a cop show, Joe, just because it's mostly, comedy, right? Very, very rarely are they actually busting criminals.
Think about that. Sherlock, criminals are an integral part of every plot. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too. What are they doing? What are they, meter maids? No, they're busting bad guys, right?
Yeah, they are. Seriously. But the show, like the plot of a particular show would be, these people are having a relationship problem, or these people are, trying to figure out why their microwave is broken or whatever. Whereas, like, Law and Order, I mean, that's clearly, it starts with a murder or something, usually a murder, and then they investigate it. And I used to watch the shit out of Law and Order back in the day. I mean, a lot. I don't know how to say it.
Me too. I watched that show a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, but I rarely made it. To me, that show was like a lullaby. I knew it was bedtime, and I would hit play on an episode of Law and Order, and sometimes I would see the crime get committed, but most of the time I would just hear that noise and then fall asleep.
That noise, that's what would like make you knock out.
Yeah, and then I'm done.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't watch it anymore. I don't know what they're up to now. You know, Law and Order, Special Crime Investigation, Street Pirate Unit, Love Interest Criminal. I don't know. Oh, but they did have a version. They didn't have one that was like, not Special Victims Unit, but the one, it had Vincent D'Onofrio, and he was like nearly autistic and would solve like special cases or something like that. That was a good version of
that. You know what? That's the one that I watched. Criminal Intent.
There you go. Criminal Intent.
And he had a few different partners and everything. It was cool. Yeah. He was very kind of Sherlocky, and he even had, I think he even had kind of a Moriarty.
He did, yes. That one
show
woman,
up every once in a while.
Yeah, that blonde woman would show up. Yeah, that's a you.
That's right.
Well described. So I used to watch that, but haven't watched it for a while. We're watching Sherlock. I don't know if you knew this, but you probably did. You remember that show House? Now that was a medical drama, not a crime drama. But the guys who wrote it, they called him House because that sounds like Holmes. How about that?
Oh, it's a. Are you serious? That's
interesting. I'm serious, yeah. And you know his best friend?
Because he was investigating stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and what was his best friend's name?
Oh, I can't remember.
Watson.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Or was it Wilson? Sorry, it's Wilson. But it sounds like Watson.
I was going to say, what did they name him, like Waddleson?
No, it's Wilson, yeah. But let's see. I'm looking at other shows, you know, from, like, I never watched The Wire, although everyone tells me it's amazing. I really should. Have you seen The Wire, Joe?
Yeah, here, I'm going to tell you what you've heard many times. It's really one of the best shows I've ever watched.
Yeah.
That means nothing now. Like, people, I get, like, straight-up disdain if I mention that. So, like, I don't know. It's almost like mentioning that 9/11 was an inside job at this point. Like, I'm not allowed to say that out loud in public and mean it.
And you're
but I don't care. This
isn't
in public. Nobody's listening to this. The Wire was great.
We're at minute 22, and your new structure has us doing an ad right now. Should we do that or keep talking about crime shows?
Well, does Larco have a – I was thinking – oh, God, I hope Larco isn't listening to this because they are our primary support. But I've always suspected that there is a very high level of criminality going on when it comes to the operations of Larco. And so if we're like, hey, we're doing a crime episode, I feel like they're going to provide at that point because they know about crime.
Maybe they're
going to cover it up and have some product about like preventing crime or something. I don't know.
Let me pull up the copy here. I'll see. It's another long one. Sorry about that. No, it looks like it's not about – well, I don't know. Kind of a mix. Here, I'll just read it and we'll get it over with, okay?
Then right,
go back to crime shows. Okay, here we go. Take a swig of my beer first. Has nothing
do you
to
need
do
the music?
Ad.
Do you need the music or no music?
I'm just too lazy to turn it off. but I'm going to turn it off because I think that if you want to montage stuff later, it's easier. Hey-o, that's not
– no, so, dude, thank you. I don't know. Sometimes that adds to the montage. It's weird.
Sometimes
anyway, good.
Okay. Here we go. Are you privileged? Are you possessed of an indefatigable urge to oppress the common man, steal from him, mutilate and torture him, an urge based on an irrepressible narcissism that was itself engendered by an overindulgent mother, an emotionally absent father, and a subtly sexually abusive chauffeur probably named Clarence? Are you unfathomably rich? Are you a white-collar criminal? Do you seek, if not release from your self-satisfaction, at least the semblance of seeking help so that society will view you as a human being redeemed, the only kind of hero our post-ironic culture can bother to worship anymore? You need therapy. But let's face it, an hour session with a goatee and a sweater vest in a tired old office in the Lower East Side isn't going to cut the mustard. You have a lot of mustard to cut, after all. But never fear. Not that you know what fear is, being a middle-aged, upper-class, Ivy League-educated, heterosexual Caucasian male. But if you could feel fear, don't bother, because as always, Larco is here to help. Introducing Assistant Shopper Retail Sex Therapy. Rather than sit in a stuffy office, you and your therapist will go shopping together. As you explore the racks of overpriced garments lovingly stitched up by underage South American sweatshop slaves, you and your therapist will talk about your issues, or let's be real, society's fucking issues, since you're just you and what's wrong with that? This therapist, to be accurate, a licensed prostitute with a degree in pseudopsychology from the Larco Institute of University Studies, will help you navigate not only the carefully laid out walkway that exonerates you from the morality of your Ponzi schemes, insider trading activities, embezzlements, and market manipulations. She will also help you navigate the labyrinthine aisles of Herod's ground floor, helping you try on pants if you want to buy some pants. And then she'll have sex with you. Hop back on your private jet, re-enter the city which a court order has dictated you're not allowed to leave, and show your therapist's report to your parole officer. Chuckle quietly to yourself as he tries to make out the big words. You have to have some fun, don't you? After all, it's not really punishment if you enjoy it, right? Clarence taught you that. Larco's assistant shop retail sex therapy is not available online, nor can we give any details as how you can request this service. You wealthy elites have your own grapevine. Just ask one of the fellows at your expensive cigar and fondling horses club if he knows someone who knows someone. And once you've found us, be sure to ask about Advanced Assistant Meta Shopper Retail Sex Therapy. In this devastatingly more expensive version, you and your assistant shopper will fly to Bangkok to do some shopping for, that's right, more prostitutes. It's a win-win kind of therapy. You win, and so does your ego. And your penis, which is the same thing.
Okay. Larco.
All right, that's paid for. Back to the shows. I do want to talk about another show. I'm just going to jump right back into it. I don't care. My wife is a lovely human being, and she got very excited one day. Very excited. Mm-hmm. And she said, hey, I found out there's a show we've been meaning to see that's finally come out, so let's watch it tonight. I said, okay, great. So we sat down, and she started the first episode of The Wire. And I'm thinking, wait, this has been out for a while, but okay. And we're about 20 minutes into it, and she looks at me, and she goes, where's Matthew McConaughey? She thought it was True Detective.
I see.
And just completely got her wires crossed, no pun intended. And so I have seen one half of the first episode of The Wire, Joe, and that's it. But I also
think?
Well, I thought it was okay. You know, hadn't really got into the characters or anything, none of the criminals. But I also think 9/11 was an inside job, so I'm more than willing to hear you talk about how great that show is all you want.
Okay. Well, no, really, just talking about The Wire. Watching The Wire, I think, was a great experience. My experience with talking about The Wire has been of much lower quality than the viewing of the show.
Okay.
So, seriously, I get a lot of backlash. My wife and a couple of my friends' wives have attempted to watch the show, and they were so disappointed that the disappointment in the show overflowed into our marriages because they were disappointed in us for liking the show. That is the husbands.
That's terrible.
Enjoy the show.
That is a crime right there.
It was unfair.
What about other crime shows? Like, do you guys stick exclusively to the true crime stuff? Or if I mention other crime shows, you can tell me, oh yeah, we liked it, we didn't like it.
Other true crime shows, or just other crime shows?
Yeah, like NCIS, for example. You ever watch that one?
No. I mean, the Law and Order Criminal Intent thing was really the only.
Okay.
I got into that. It's the formula was right on. I guess the formula is the same though with all the other Law and Orders. So. I mean, it's designed. It's like a cigarette. It's addictive for a reason. It's a delivery system for exactly what your brain needs or something.
I think the original Law and Order was basically the first half hour was cops, and the second half hour was lawyers. Criminal Intent was more like they showed you the criminals doing the crimes, and it was more D'Onofrio, the cop, and there was some lawyer stuff too, but mostly it was the cop. So it's a little different.
It was just investigation, and they would they would kind of consult with the lawyers when it comes to, you know, what they need to do to kind of
yeah,
you know,
yeah. But no, but it was still within that same feeling of the Law and Order. I mean, all of the Law and Orders definitely have that same kind of tone, which I think is very compelling. Speaking to the cigarette analogy, they were still, you're still getting that nicotine hit, no matter which one you're smoking, for sure. How about, what's the one, CSI? Did you ever watch that one?
I watched a few of those. I thought it was cool. Like, visually, it was cool. I mean, you know, they had neat ideas about how they're going to solve the crimes and everything. My main thing, and...
Hello?
Hey, you still there?
Yeah.
I'm having technical difficulties. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
No, my main thing was, and apparently this is kind of like CSI, except it's true crime, so I'm back on that, but Forensic Files. I mean, CSI was all about forensics and ballistics and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I feel like if I watched one episode after another of CSI, I would really get into it. But, you know, I was right when I said, maybe we're just going to talk about crime TV shows, because what the hell do we know about real crime? And I wonder
if you ever committed like a serious crime, if you ever murdered anybody, Joe, tell me right now on this recording that's going out to the public.
No, I haven't, but I have a this is as close as we're going to get. This I have a recurring dream where, like, my friends and I had accidentally killed somebody.
Whoa.
And by the way, this is weird because in every dream, it's some total asshole that I can't stand. And, like, in the dream, it's like way back in the day, somebody accidentally killed this asshole.
Yeah.
And we, like, and this is, oh, man, this is weird. But in every single one, we had buried this guy in the foundation of a house that was being built. Okay. Yeah. And, so the house gets built, and here's what happens at the end of every dream. And I think this just speaks to, because I think, look, when you're dreaming, unless when you're lucid dreaming, you don't know that you're sure that the dream is real. You're sure that it's real. And in this dream, every time the house is about to be like demolished or something, and me and all the other friends that were involved are like calling each other. This is all in the dream. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, they're going to discover this body. And I'm just scared shitless. And I'm like, I'm convinced that my life is over and I'm going to be committed. You know, I'm going to be convicted of murder and go to jail.
When they demolish the house.
Now, psychology. Entering into the psychology portion, what do you think? I mean, you're a washer of car washes. What do you think that means? What type of psychological issues am I grappling with here when I'm convinced that I've murdered somebody and I've buried them in the foundation of a house? The house is about to be demolished. I'm about to be exposed as a murderer. And it's real fear. And the fear actually gets to the point where I wake up, and that's really great when I wake up and I'm like, oh, I never murdered some asshole.
So we're at minute 33, and we're going to do an ad in a few minutes. So I can get serious for a second because the funny will come back. My understanding, the best theory that I've ever seen of what dreams are nothing more than a manifestation of watching or experiencing a short-term memory being moved into long-term memory. And when your brain puts things into long-term storage, it has to give it a tag of some kind so it can retrieve it later. And our brains aren't like computers. They can't use numbers to tag things. They can't use addresses. So what they do is they use things called novelties to tag these memories. They're just associations, and they're seemingly random. Like if I say to you right now, hey, Joe, my foot's on fire, and your brain decides you need to remember that later, you'll go to sleep, your brain will go, all right, take Jason saying foot on fire, put it in long-term memory, and tag it with, I don't know, a pineapple dancing in under the moon. It's completely random. And then later on, you're like, what was that thing he said? And then your brain, without you thinking pineapple dancing under the moon, goes, pineapple dancing under the moon. Oh, yeah, he said his foot was on fire or whatever. So to take this understanding of what a dream is, for whatever reason, something happened in your life that you needed to remember. So when it got moved into short-term memory, it got tagged with this complicated story about killing somebody and shoving them into a house, and now the house is going to be turned down. And the reason why you're having the dream over and over again is because your brain is anxious about something. It's like, I need to access this, but you don't know what it's tagged to. You're experiencing some kind of anxiety, and this is the thing that keeps popping up, and it reinforces itself, because every time you have the dream, it becomes a little bit more cohesive, and so it's easier to access. So all it is, I think, Joe, is you're experiencing some kind of anxiety about something, and it might be something that happened to you in your childhood. It might be chemicals. I don't know. It's just straight up anxiety, and you know, that it doesn't keep you from sleeping, and that it doesn't ruin you the rest of your day. You wake up, you feel relieved, I think just means, hey, whatever, move on. Is that the lamest explanation you've ever heard?
No. I mean, as it's in my profession as a Taco Bell manager, that was a very thorough explanation of at least one of the theories, like the neurological theory about how dreams are kind of put together and presented as you sleep. I was thinking, what I worry about is, have I blocked some memory of murdering an asshole and he's buried beneath the foundation of some house somewhere, and that's why I'm dreaming it, because I'm actually a murderer?
Well, okay. Well, that would be a really interesting and awesome thing. I think the easiest answer is, if you did, you wouldn't have dreams about it. I'm not saying you didn't, but the dream is not – you're not dreaming about something you did. You'll find that you very rarely ever consistently and consecutively dream about things that actually happened in your life, because that is not what dreams are for. Now, you will dream about things that happen in your life, but usually what happens is when you wake up, now your brain is conscious and it starts making conscious associations and brings you back to actual memories, not the thing you actually dreamed about. 9 times out of 10, when you wake up from a dream, you go, I just had a dream that my foot was on fire. You were not remembering your foot ever having been on fire. So,
well, this is very relieving to hear this, because I get a little worried sometimes, because I've had that dream probably fucking 20 times.
Yeah, it's one of the things.
It's pretty much the same every time. And you know what? It's at least we didn't kill him on purpose.
Okay. Well, you got that going for you. I have a recurring dream that I'm in a car that's out of control. I don't know. It's anxiety-based. I wake up, I'm relieved. We're at minute 35. I think it's time to do another ad. What do you think?
That would be great. Now, here's my problem. And this is a crime to the podcast. I was not able to complete an ad. Or that is, sorry, broke the fourth wall there. I did not receive any copy from our new sponsor.
Yeah,
our new sponsor was a home security company.
Okay,
that's what I hear. But it's actually, I don't know which one it is. I didn't get that clarified from our producer, Joe Beth Nelson. Anyway,
I love Joe Beth.
Yeah, she's really working hard, you know, to promote the podcast, and we'll see how that works. So far, there's only one person listening at a time. I think she's going to work on maybe getting that to overlap to where two people might be listening at one point, at least for like a minute or something like that. But they still won't be listening to the same thing. Okay. Anyway, she's working really hard. She gave me, though, like a little bit of a rundown, maybe – you know what? Give me my intro and then I'll pitch the product to you, or I'll pitch the ad to you as I understand it.
Okay.
And maybe on our next crime episode, we'll actually have the copy to read.
Okay, let's do this. Well, that was really quite.
Okay, so the product is basically a home security system. But it's called the Home Alone security system.
Okay.
Because instead of having like alarms that call the police to you, you have things like trip wires that make things explode, or like broken glass next to a window, swinging pails that will hit you in the head. And, you know, and that's to keep out the bumbling fucking criminals that are trying to get into your house. And at the center of the security system is just a fucking little brat.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot the volume.
Blue-eyed, blonde-haired, you know, screaming little fucking child running around. And see, you leave him home alone, and then he protects your home.
Oh, I see.
It's the Home Alone security system. But see, I don't have the copy for it, but do you understand how it might work there?
Yeah, I think so. I like what I'm hearing. I definitely would like to hear more about that.
The problem is, I think, with the system is that...
That must have been one of the burglars falling down some stairs. Nope, he tripped. over the tripwire. Oh, dodged one there.
Yeah, and see, and it makes the protection of your home like really slapstick Looney Tune shit. And never mind the movie that it's based on is a little weird because clearly those bumbling criminals were psychopaths trying to, like, in earnest murder that child.
Yeah,
and if it were real, they would have done it.
When do you think? So you think we'll do another criminal episode? That was random. We'll do another. Okay, somebody needs to talk to Joe Beth. These sounds are getting out of control.
Have you lost control of your Looney Tunes noises? Oh my god!
Sorry about that. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to play the word from our sponsor outro anyway. All right.
Hey, sorry to whatever company chose to sponsor us this week.
That's okay. Where'd the music go?
Got to put that guitar music back on.
Yeah, I'm trying to do things smoothly with Joe Beth was showing me some moves with the old. You know, don't just click things on and off. Slide in and out with them. So, she's great. The conversation.
Joe Beth is running our Facebook site.
Yeah, I saw that today. I really liked what I saw.
So anybody that wants to befriend Just Be Cousins, really, it's a matter of befriending Joe Beth Nelson. I don't understand how Facebook works.
Yeah, I don't think Facebook understands how Facebook works either. I was going to say something, and now I can't remember what it was. That part wasn't important then. We have 8
minutes. Do you feel like Facebook is partaking in criminal behavior? I mean, every once in a while it comes up that there's some maybe ethically or perhaps legally questionable thing that they're up to, some study that they're doing, or they're trying to provoke people, or you know, mess with their emotions, test things.
There was that thing a while ago about the whole testing their emotions by showing them negative shit on their newsfeed or whatever. I'm like, yeah, whatever, get over yourself, assholes. If you don't like what Facebook's doing, get off of it. But
this is nowhere near criminal. Then this is. Not that I ever gave a fuck, man. Really, I didn't. But I wondered if they even came close to like really crossing that line.
I think that when we get to okay, so let me say this. Let me put it this way. I asked you if you'd ever murdered anybody, and you said no, and the answer I expected. My next question was going to be, and you don't have to answer this, Joe. My next question was going to be, do you know somebody who has murdered someone? Again, you don't have to answer, but I'm assuming the answer is no. I can tell that I don't know anybody who's murdered someone. In fact, I would be very surprised if I knew someone who had murdered someone, right? The whole several degrees of separation thing, I think for most of us, is pretty high when it comes to murder. And then when you do know somebody who's murdered someone, chances are you know other people who have as well. You don't just know one. You know lots. And I think what we have is these silos of knowledge of particular crimes. Like, I don't know anybody who's been in jail for a significant amount of time. I don't know anybody who committed lots of different crimes. I'm in a particular silo. And I think then, I'm going to extend this out now. When you get to people like Facebook, these people who have billions of dollars, whatever it is that they're doing that people like you and me consider unlawful, they're in a different silo too. They're doing things that in their own isolated culture are not necessarily unethical. It's just how you do business. Whereas the rest of us look at them and say, hey, you stole that guy's information and you sold it to somebody. You shouldn't have done that. That's illegal. But then it becomes a matter of just opposing viewpoints, and you need to get arbitration involved and somebody to jump in there and say, okay, yes, that is illegal, or no, it technically isn't illegal, and it becomes nuanced and weird. I do think Facebook's responsible for getting us into our current political situation that I don't want to talk about, and for that reason, right. I'm seriously thinking about deleting my account, but now I can't because Joe Beth's like, you need to be friends with me on Facebook, and I said, okay, I'm not going to delete my account because that's the way it goes. So,
well, I got to tell you this.
Yeah, go ahead, because I babbled enough.
Well, no, but I mean, several thoughts came to mind and several responses were there, but I didn't want to kind of, you know, interrupt your flow of thought. Mm-hmm. I want to say, I did grow up on Payne Street in Sevierville.
Yes.
And your assumptions are actually incorrect, and I'm not going to go into details.
Okay.
But I do know someone who has murdered someone else, and I know, actually was not close friends, but I know someone who was murdered as well.
Oh. Okay.
And so that's, you know, it's amazing. Like I don't know. I don't think that really speaks to like the element of people that I associate with, and a lot of this is from when I was way younger, and it's a product of Payne Street. You know, and I survived Payne Street. But there were rough things went on, and sure, not everybody survived. There's nothing funny about that, but it's true.
I'll try to make it funny, although I'll fail miserably, because we're at now, it's time to do arguments for cancellation, but you say you know somebody, and that answers the question, so now I have to reform my theory. Are you close to that person? Do you know them now? Do you associate on a regular basis with whichever definition of regular you want, whether that's once a year, once a week, whatever?
No, but I'll put it this way. When I was in high school, there was someone who my friends and I hung out with, and we had no idea what he was going through at all. And he ended up – he ended up murdering those who had abused him, his parents.
Oh, they fed him a lot of Taco Bell, didn't they?
Oh, my God, Jason. Oh my God, I'm serious though. It's and
okay.
So,
I know you're serious, but this is not a serious show. So if you're not going to tell me that they shoved Taco Bell down his throat, and then try to tell me that you are struggling with whether or not they committed the first crime, given what you do for a living, I mean, I can definitely see the conflict in your heart, Joe. I see it. I smell it. I taste it. It tastes delicious. Do you want to do arguments for cancellation?
Let me tell you this. When people consent to eating Taco Bell, there's nothing criminal about that. Me selling people Taco Bell, nothing criminal about it. If someone's forcing you to eat Taco Bell, there should be a special felony. So I get that.
I'm not trying to make light of what you're talking about. I'm just trying to make light of our conversation about it.
Oh, I understand.
It is disrespectful, Joe. It is disrespectful, but it's subtly disrespectful, and that's my goal.
No, you're just trying to save the podcast from my fucking dire shit.
No.
But that's okay. I just want to say, you know what? We were associates with this person when we were in high school. When I say we, that's like me and people that I went to high school with that I'm still friends with.
Okay.
And there's been like a documentary made about this guy pretty recently that's on Netflix. I'll let you know about that later. But no, we're not in contact with him. But it's weird to watch a documentary and know that guy knows who you are. And like if he were in an interview and someone asked that person, like in the documentary, I couldn't help but think this. I was like, it's really weird. This documentary is really in depth and really disturbing. And there was a few different kind of case studies in it. One of them being our friend from high school. And I was like, you know, in that interview, all they would have to do is say, hey, you remember Joe Neal? And then he would stare into the camera and start talking about me. That'd freak me out.
Yeah, that would be weird. That would be weird. Yeah. I don't know, Joe. Maybe we're getting too serious. Last episode, talking about serious stuff. This episode, serious stuff. Maybe we should end the show. What do you think? Maybe we should end the show.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, I'll argue for it.
Okay.
But there's one more thought I needed to get out here.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I know you're itching. Your trigger finger is just itching. But let me tell you this.
Yeah.
God damn it. Bernie Madoff, he didn't just do like – oh, white culture or, you know, white collar culturally appropriate kind of misbehavior like that. That guy's bullshit led to literally the deaths and the destruction of other human beings. So fuck you, Bernie Madoff. I just wanted to say that.
I don't know where that came from, but it sounds like he'd be the perfect candidate to use Larko's sex shopping therapy. I can't remember what it's called now. Let's do an argument for a cancellation.
Sometimes.
All right.
That is better.
Welcome, everyone, to the most embarrassing arguments for cancellation yet. And you'll see why. I am embarrassed to present this. I'm embarrassed to present the show every week, so I guess this fits. But this is going to be about our fixation on criminal behavior, violent behavior. We certainly mention it a lot. We do it with such enthusiasm that I think it just sounds suspicious when it comes to our own moral keeping. And I call this the criminal record.
Should I hit play?
Hot liquid Coke squirted up your butt with a turkey baster.
I'm going to get some grass. I'm going to get some Coke. I'm going to get your schmurger. I'm going to get a leather jacket that was obviously stolen from somebody. And I'm going to get a hooker.
Stabbing a bartender. Fire a rocket launcher at the SWAT team helicopter.
I'm going to kill you. Follow me.
Torture and kill you.
Beat that mailman to death with an aluminum baseball bat.
Turn around, grab them, and spread.
No. Bend over, grab them, and spread. No! Pull down your pants, grab your ankles.
You can't.
Fucking take it.
Rape! Grow up to be a child torturer.
Commits senseless murders.
Shoving his sword into and
shooting hookers in the face.
Shooting them in the face with a shotgun. I mean,
random series of sadistic, extremely violent acts, ending in blood and fire.
Fucking go to jail.
Throw me in fucking jail!
Oh, man. You know what I want to be when I'm resurrected? Like, if I die and, like, come back, I want to be the bass guitar on the Law & Order intro
just
song.
Just slapping that shit? Yeah.
It's just
satisfying, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say about what you just said?
Yeah, I mean, did you hear that? I mean, I had to mix up the evidence, but just a lot of violence, a lot of abuse. Let's face it, some of it was just rapey.
I think you just fucking convinced me.
Thank you.
You convinced me.
Sometimes that is better.
Completely convinced. I'm never doing this show again. The show is done. Oh, who am I kidding? This is the only reason I get up in the morning to check if it's a Thursday. Is it Thursday? No? All right. I'll try again tomorrow. You make a very good argument.
You ever been
there.
Mugged?
Yes, I have. Have you been mugged?
Yeah. I was really asking for it, but did you?
What, were you wearing a short skirt, like batting your eyelashes? You asshole? What do you mean you were asking for it?
The muggers, they are responsible for the mugging, and shame on them for what they did. At the same time, you know, I think you need to take some sort of measure to protect yourself and not advertise yourself as the stupidest fucking most mug-worthy piece of shit on the planet, which is what I did in that circumstance. And you were mugged too?
Yeah, kind of. Sort of. It was my brother and I had walked. We were very young. We had walked to what is the equivalent of a 7-Eleven, and these kids came out of nowhere with sticks in their hands saying, "Give me your money." And we ran back to the 7-Eleven. We were scared shitless, and we called our mom and dad. And then after we called them and they came to get us, the store owners said, "Everything all right?" And we're like, "Yeah, some kids jumped us." And they were livid, these store owners. They went outside and started looking around for them and yelling and screaming. It was kind of funny, but nobody took anything from me, and I didn't get hurt. So what about your mugging? I mean, did you actually get stuff taken from you?
Yeah. So I had just played a show, and every time whenever I played a show with any band that I've ever been in, they just pay you – they pay you cash.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we had played a show, and then there was an after party where everybody was at the show went to a house, and everybody got really drunk. And then we were trying to figure out who was going to go and get this huge order of Mexican food, because suddenly everybody was really hungry. And there was in the town that we were playing, which is San Diego, there's, you know, 24-hour taco shops.
Hell yeah.
So it's a matter of, like, sending one of these drunk assholes to the taco shop to get...
Sorry. He took the train to get there, yeah.
Well, that person, though, would have to... I mean, there was a lot of orders. There's a bunch of people there. It's just, you know, burritos upon burritos. And it's just going to be a whole lot of Mexican food. Nobody understood that there was a logistical problem there. It's like, how the hell is that person going to carry all this shit? Yeah. Like, on foot, because the thing is, it was walking distance away. Well, I decided that I would be that asshole. And so I went, you know, I think it was like 3 a.m. I had $80 left of my gig money in cash in my wallet.
Okay.
And I was pretty drunk, and I went in, ordered all this fucking Mexican food, like two big grocery bags, basically, full of Mexican food. And I had put my wallet down. I mean, it just, you know, you're not operating on a real high level. And I had put my wallet down to, like, shuffle through, because people had given me more cash. So I'm, like, shuffling through. Think about that. And it wasn't, like, a great neighborhood either. I'm, like, my wallet's out. There's people coming in and out of this, like, shitty taco shop. And I'm, like, shuffling through all these, like, $20 bills and shit, just in case anybody was wondering if I'm a good, easy target. Well, here I am, like, putting myself on display. Well, then there lies my wallet. He gives me two big grocery bags full of Mexican food, and I grab them, and it's, you know, under, you know, both arms just hugging these bags, and I see my wallet, and I go, oh, shit. And I grab my wallet with, like, my fingers that are, you know, here I am. My arms are loaded with Mexican food. I grab the wallet just with my fingers, so it's dangling with cash visible.
Yeah.
And I'm... Yes. And somehow, now this part's a little foggy, but, like, I put a bag down. The wallet's still dangling because I really wanted a cigarette. So I pull out the cigarettes. I put a cigarette in my mouth. I walk outside. Somehow I've lit the cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm smoking. I have two bags of Mexican food, my wallet dangling. My cigarettes are trapped between the other bag and my hand, and I'm smoking a cigarette. And it's like the smoke's like burning my eyes. So this is – I was in real bad shape.
Yeah.
I walked out like that in, you know, to try and cross the street. Three young men in hoodies with their hoods on kind of walk near me. You know why? Because I basically had a neon sign over my head saying, mug me. Just do it now. Mug me now. and they walk right up to me, and one of them was like, hey, man, you got a cigarette? And I was like, of course. You know? And I'm like kind of pointing them, like showing them, hey, these cigarettes right here, go ahead. Before I knew what happened, one of them had hit me in the head.
Oh, like, man.
Straight up took a swing. They didn't need to do that, by the way. They could have just grabbed my fucking wallet and started running. But they hit me. I dropped all the Mexican food everywhere and cigarettes and shit all over the place. And they ran away. And, of course, they had my wallet. So now, see, after I tell you that, yes, those kids were criminals. But how fucking stupid was that move? It was one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my whole life.
You know what I think, Joe? I think that's why you have that dream over and over again. You're trying to murder that little idiot, bury him in the foundations of your new adulthood, which will soon come crumbling down when people realize you're still that same kid. And I don't know how that works, but it does. So did we learn anything today, Joe, on today's show? Not a fucking thing, did we?
No, probably not.
No.
I learned that there's a lot more crime shows that I should watch.
Oh, yeah, Google it, baby. There's a shit ton. I think it's the technical term. Yeah.
And hopefully you've learned how not to buy a whole lot of burritos at 3 a.m. drunk.
I'm fine with it, Joe, because I don't smoke. Not a smoker. So I'm probably safe.
Good for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel good about this episode. A little more structure, a little more planning, and a lot of stupid sound effects. Anything you want to say as we close it out?
Yeah.
And last
thoughts? Oh, Jason, I just keep getting worse and worse at steamrolling you on this show.
Fuck no, you're fine. I can steamroll you with the volume.